Hello, folks, and welcome back to Gamer Radio. After a brief hiatus, we're back. I'm here with Dan, as usual. And Dan, I feel like we've gone back in time.
Yeah, just a little bit. You enjoying some of this stuff?
I am. We'll jump right in. So what we've been playing, I'll start with my, thing I'm most excited about. I finally, after multiple attempts of trying to order the thing, got an analog pocket. It is awesome. Awesome. I picked up, actually from Dan, a bunch of GBA games, and the screen is gorgeous. This is not an emulator. It's playing them natively. Put it right in the back. It's got, feels almost like a Game Boy Color in terms of form factor. And it's just, I've been playing Sonic Advance and Super Mario Advance, I think it's 2, which is basically kind of an up-res Super Mario 3, very much similar to the one that was ported to the Super Nintendo. And it's just, you know, I've been kind of blown away at how well these games from that era hold up.
Oh, yes. I don't have an analog pocket, but I've seen amazing things. That hardware looks great, and if I didn't already have a way to play this stuff, I would have probably kept the games and played them on the pocket.
Yeah, so this is my first kind of like retro machine that isn't, you know, like something I hacked together out of a Raspberry Pi or some strange emulation box. But yeah, I could see, certainly if you already had something, it's probably not worth it. It's also surprisingly annoying to buy. Like, I don't understand. I guess that's like a marketing thing for them. They make it super scarce, but it really is like they announced the pre-order, you have to be online ready to pound in your credit card info because they sell out within like less than an hour.
Yeah, that's not cool. I'm actually waiting for their DAC to come back in stock so I can hook up my Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis to my CRT television.
Oh, nice. So you have a real Super Nintendo and a real Genesis.
Well, the Super NT and the Mega SG.
Got it. Yeah. Awesome. So what have you been playing, man?
I've been playing a lot of Dynasty Warriors 7 Extreme Legends on the PlayStation 3 with my wife. We're 100%ing that, and I feel like we're probably about 85% done.
Nice. Now, that's like one of those, what do they call them, Mushu Fighters? Is that?
It is the Musou series.
Okay.
Yeah. And so you run around a battlefield, you slash weapons, you take out officers, and you just have a good time.
Nice. And that's native to the PS3.
Yes.
Awesome.
And they also ported it to Steam, but the PC port's not as good.
Yeah, I can imagine that old cell processor porting it to Wintel's got to be a little tricky.
They released it like, I think it was like 2014 or something around there for the PC. So they didn't have good controller support in the sense of buttons. Like you get the prompts for the keyboards. If you don't have all the controllers connected while you start the game, it just won't detect them, which makes Steam Remote Play kind of annoying.
Oh yeah. So how does that actually work? Are you using mouse and keyboard or?
Well, I do have it on Steam, and I played it on the Steam Deck, and it will detect the internal controller just fine. It's just, if you want to play two players, you have to have another controller actually connected when you start the game, or you have to go through this weird dance.
Got it.
And then as for a couple other things, I've been playing Horizon 11, which is a MMO private server for Final Fantasy VII. It really runs well on the deck and also on my desktop. And I've played a little bit of Armored Core 6 Fires of Rubicon on my Steam Deck. I got through the first boss, and that game looks really good on the Steam Deck.
Wait, it's Final Fantasy 11, right?
Right, but it's a third party thing.
Oh, nice. And so do you have to pay like a monthly fee for it, or is it just
No, it's a private server. They don't charge for it. It's not official.
Oh, that's awesome. Don't tell Square Enix.
Yeah.
Before they pull that down Nintendo style.
Oh, yeah. Let's not talk about, we could talk about it, but just another day.
They've been, so folks who don't know, Nintendo has been on a pretty aggressive campaign of suing emulators and kind of fan projects into oblivion over the last, I'd say, month. Like, they've always been pretty litigious, but they, the weird Pokemon game that's like Pokemon with guns, they're going after them too now?
Pal World?
Yeah, I think so. I think I read something like that. But the big one was they just nuked whatever emulator project that was 3DS.
Yuzu.
That's the one. Yeah.
And Citra.
to the point where like the repos are gone now on GitHub. They're just gone. So that's, I don't know. I don't know how you feel about that. I mean, I kind of understand the concern because, you know, if you're Nintendo, you love selling the same game over and over again for full retail, right? For $50 or $70.
Or their new model is you subscribe.
Right. And ironically, you're running a relatively jank emulator. So yeah.
Again, I'm not happy. I just wish that we could actually purchase the ROMs from these companies and then play them the way we want, but they want full control.
Yeah. How many times, you know, do people buy Ocarina of Time, right? It's just stuff like that. So, but what else are you playing? I know you have one more on this list.
Armored Core 6, Fires of Rubicon.
Oh, that looks so good.
Yeah, it looks amazingly well on the Steam Deck. It runs about 40 frames per second most of the time.
Okay.
Just, it's really hard. It is Souls-like hard, so it's fast-paced and I lost against the first boss like 4 times.
Oh, wow. So tell a little more about that, because I know I haven't played an Armored Core game in, oh, God, it's got to be like over a decade at least.
So it's a mech shooter. You can just customize the mech any way you want, which is great. For this game, it's not open world, but the sections are set up pretty well. Instead of being like long little corridors and whatnot like the older game, it's a bit more open field and you're flying your mech from place to place while you're shooting a bunch of missiles and long-ranged weapons. And the first boss is a helicopter, and like you have to learn how to stun it to actually survive. Otherwise, it'll just launch rockets and missiles and dodging you. And it's a task.
I like that. It's a Souls-like with robots, and it's a task.
Oh, yeah. it's definitely a hardcore game. If you're looking for an easy time, don't look for that.
Got it. And it's also available on I think, PS5 and Xbox as well, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I have two more. I've been playing Age of Empires 4 because I have pretty much frat boy level chugged the Age of Empires. What is it? The Year of the Empire or something hype that Microsoft put out?
I haven't paid attention to that, but
you're not deep into the PC RTSs?
Well, I kind of was, but the last one I purchased was the offshoot of the Star Wars Battlegrounds.
Galaxy at War, I think.
No, it's Star Wars Battlegrounds. It's
Okay.
They use the Age of Empires engine, and it takes place in the Star Wars universe.
Oh, that's really cool. I gotta check that out. Yeah, so 4 is, if you've played 2 and 3, 4 is, I would say, more similar to 3 in that it takes a lot of the almost simplifications that 3 did, and maybe re-adds a little complexity from 2. There's something weird going on, though, with the series. 2 is still alive. Like, Microsoft's reviving it. There's an upcoming expansion to it. What is it? Fallen Warriors or something? It's like Vikings and Samurai.
Wow.
They just did it's free if you get it on Steam, and I think it's free if you get it from the Microsoft Store too. A texture pack and basically a visual upgrade bump to 2 to really, because you know that game's like old, right? That game's pretty vintage at this point. It looks great. They not so long ago released an Age of Rome, kind of pretty major expansion. There's still a thriving community online of people who've macroed themselves into just madness. So if you feel the need for conquest and have imperial ambitions, there are many Age of Empires games available to you. I will say that having played all of them that are currently available, I would probably say if you're used to 2, maybe skip 3 and jump to 4, or just stick with 2 and some of the, you know, download the upgrade packs. Just because 4 is a little closer to 3, and I know 3 was pretty controversial when it came out for good reason. There's also, if you're feeling a bit spiritual, there's Age of Mythology, in which you, same idea, right? Same basic engine, but you play as the Greeks, the Egyptians, and I think the Atlanteans are the weird ones. Yeah, the Atlanteans. But you can build temples, and if you gather enough favor with your respective god, that god will show up and wreak havoc on your enemies or perform, quote, miracles. But those miracles aren't always nice. Like, sometimes there's like raining meteorites down on your enemy's town center. So, you know, it's fun. They're also releasing a remade and updated and expanded Age of Mythology. It's one of their big announcements in their Year of the Empire event they did. So, a lot going on there. I'm interested, Dan, in this strategy they have. They're basically competing with themselves. Like, 4 is still alive, though it's definitely not getting any love in terms of, like, new content, as far as I can see. But 2 and Age of Mythology are going to be in direct competition. Well, I would say, and I think people who've played both would also argue that 2 is the more competitive, kind of serious game, where Age of Mythology is a bit... I remember last time I played it, I played as Egypt, and I got raw to, like, rain fire down on my enemies, right? So, like, they're bombs, right? They're like the dumb magic commander bomb that just, like, changes the game. Looking at you, Cyclonic Rift. yeah, so speaking of magic, I've also been drafting the hell out of Markov, the new, I would say, ill-designed magic set. Before I start dunking like Shaquille O'Neal, I'm curious what you think, because you tend to be much more moderate than I am on these kind of offshoot sets.
It's kind of passing me by. I haven't drafted with my tokens just yet, but I've been playing Brawl, and it's added a couple interesting cards, but I was more excited before it came out, and it's just like, it's kind of, yeah, not great.
Yeah, I liked the concept. I think you and I spoke about it. By the way, when he says he's playing Brawl, he's really been wiping the floor with me at Brawl, is what he's talking about. But I, you know... Like the whole detective angle, the flavor, the clue mechanic, it's just not interesting enough. I haven't found anything in this set that's like mechanically really speaking to me. Like I liked Dominaria United, and then the Brothers War was good. March of the Machines was eh, but some of the poison stuff was interesting and limited in draft. I loved the storybook one, Wilds of Eldraine. That I think is awesome. The whole roll mechanic. In fact, I bought the commander decks of that one because it's just so much fun to play on tabletop too. You know, it's a little silly, right? You've got like, kind of, I forgot what the guy's name is, but one of the commanders that comes in the precon is literally a casting director. And that's what he does.
I have not looked at paper in a while, so I'm not sure, but it does sound very neat on that. And my two cents though is like, hey, can we pull back a little bit on the releases, just a little?
But why? The Fallout one is coming out, and like I'm not interested in that either. I know.
I don't even think it's gonna hit Arena, so I don't care.
Oh, they're not bringing it to Arena?
I don't think so. It's not part of like a standard set like, you know, Lord of the Rings was. And they might release something, but I haven't heard anything. So I'm just going to ignore it.
Yeah. Well, if it doesn't hit Arena, I'm going to ignore it, too, because I only play paper at my kitchen table now. So what do you feel about the Universes Beyond stuff, though? Because, you know, we've got a Marvel one coming out soon. I think it's next year. We have, what's the other big, there's another Universes Beyond that they've already announced.
I don't remember.
Oh, there's so many.
So my thoughts are, why couldn't they have been like a different colored border? Not actually be part of standard, or the silver bordered or even gold bordered would have been pretty cool looking to say, hey, these aren't in universe. These are a different thing. You can play with them and they're legal in certain stuff, but mainly it's not part of most of the stuff. And like maybe make it commander legal just because, you know, commander loves that stuff. The fact that they're black border and Lord of the Rings, because it was a standard set, like people are not happy that the One Ring is not in universe. It's Lord of the Rings. They're not making another reprint with a different name saying that, hey, this is where it's coming from inside the MTG story.
Yeah. Okay, so the slate for this year, this is just incredibly aggressive. So after Fallout, which comes out, by the way, in 3 days, so by the time this is on folks' feeds, it will already be out. March 8th.
Oh, wow.
Then April 19th. See, it's too fast. Look at that. Then April 19th, they have a regular like in-universe set, Outlaws of Thunder Junction. This one also is weird. It's a Western-themed set.
I have not looked at any.
Yeah, but it's strange. It's Western, but there's like no cowboys don't seem to be carrying pistols, which I thought were revolvers, which I thought was odd. But they're like throwing back some of the planeswalkers that you know, like apparently Vraska's going to be there, and there's a rumor it's going to like Nico Bolas might be the bad guy. But they're just like giving them a cowboy makeup. Over, which I don't know, could be kind of cool, but it's definitely a stretch, I think. And after that, June 14th, another Modern Horizons. So all you modern players who need your bombs as reprints, there you go. And this is the other Universes Beyond. July 5th, Assassin's Creed.
Oh, right. Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, but they're not done. Bloomburrow? What the hell is Bloomburrow? It's all about anthropomorphic animals, according to their site.
Oh, right. Yeah, I keep seeing this Jace that looks like a fox. I'm like, what is up with that?
And the final set of the year is going to be Duskmourn, which looks very much like a horror version of Markov's Manor.
Okay.
Kind of a strange collection of ideas here. Very whiplashy. You're going from Markov, which is odd, to Fallout, so now you're in sci-fi, to Western, right? And then Modern Horizons, I guess, doesn't really count because it's all reprints.
No, actually, Modern Horizons has a new Eldrazi.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. This new Emrakul is pretty awesome, too. Definitely look it up.
Oh, and that is coming to Arena, so...
Modern Horizons is coming to Arena?
Yep, Modern Horizons 3.
Awesome. I want to play that Emrakul.
Yeah. Okay, so it's... I don't know. I'm mostly an Arena player these days, and that basically has become draft, just because I have amassed so many tokens. It's the easiest way to get cards without throwing real money in. But I really kind of miss the old in-universe sets that kind of had a, you know, like a coherent design language. You know what I miss? I miss blocks. That's what it is, right? That for like half a year at least, you knew what the mechanics were going to be, and they spent every couple months or, you know, expanding on those mechanics.
Yeah, I agree. I really enjoyed blocks. I liked the three set blocks. You know, you get your main set and two expansions. There's technically the blocks of, oh, there's this set and another set that go together right back to back.
Right. No, I mean, I think the last really good block was, I guess the Odyssey block was good. I was going to say Invasion, but it was the old block format of the big initial set and then two smaller sets, right? And they all had a theme, but they all tied into the core themes. So, and then at the end of the block, to folks who didn't play back in the ancient times, you would get a new block, right? Where there'd be a break. There'd be like the block and then what they used to call a core set, which was basically reprints for mostly targeting new players to like kind of get the staples they would need. Then there'd be another block which had its own mechanics, and you know, that would also usually, every two blocks was a rotation of what then was called type two, we would now call standard. But even that's changed, right? Because standard rotation used to be, I think, a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now it's what? It's kind of, was it like 3 years? Like Shieldred is never going away.
No, seems like it.
I want her to go away so much. And before people DM me, yes, I know it's a creature, it can be removed, but Shieldred is just OP. I don't care what you say. Look at the standard rankings. How many of those decks are Rakdos midrange? And how many of them don't run Shieldred? So, Magic rant over. So, Dan, classic game design versus modern. Shall we be old men for a minute?
Oh, of course, always.
All right.
Not getting any younger, really.
No, we just keep getting older. So I've noticed all of these classic games that we like to talk about on here are very goal-oriented, very, I would say, artisanally designed, where I feel like modern games are kind of open world, almost like sandboxes. I don't know, am I off base?
No, it seems like the older games, because of the limitations, they wanted to keep players engaged, and you know, if going way back, they wanted you to rent the game and not be able to beat it in a single setting.
That's right.
So it's just so it had to be very goal, very skill based. Whereas these modern games, they want to have you kind of write your own stories ish and explore the worlds and see what all of the detail and things like that, that you could just find nooks and crannies. The games have gotten way more complex in just their design and scope.
Yeah, I would also say they want you to buy the expansion DLC to explore this side character that turns out has an epic quest for you. Looking at you, God of War Ragnarok, looking at you, because, yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Playing all these old GBA games, which are really like SNES era games, I'm noticing the mechanics are actually simpler than modern games, but they're pretty hard. I mean, they're not easy. And they can be kind of punishing, where I guess maybe some of this is just like old man yells at kids to get off lawn. But I watch my son play Roblox and I'm like, is this just candy? Is this just a sugar high? Because it's so like, do whatever you want. And the content that at least he ends up playing is very like bite size, right? It's like 10-minute game, 5-minute games, where, you know, even like Mario Wonder, which I think is a little less hard, or I would say it's actually significantly less hard than the old Mario's. Still has that goal orientation. I actually have not beat that game. I haven't even tried it. I've watched him play it, but you know, it's Mario. You have a goal. You got to get to the end of the stage. You got to presumably save the whoever. I don't think it's the princess this time.
Yeah, it's definitely like Nintendo has kept that kind of stuff for their game design, just because I think Nintendo likes the simplicity and just that kind of engagement overall, whereas you're only seeing those kind of goal-oriented design games in smaller indies.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, that's true. What is the... I bought it on the Switch. I'm playing this... I was playing a couple weeks ago this game. You're like... the hell is it? You're a fisherman. I wish I could remember the name. God, I'm sorry. All right, but you dive down and you have to catch fish to sell them to update your boat. And...
Is it Dave the Diver?
I think it might be... Let me see. Dave the Diver. I think that sounds about right. Yeah, it's Dave the Diver. Damn, that was like, you're like, I got this. It's Dave the Diver.
There are certain things I'm very good at memorizing.
Yeah. So, it's fun. And it is a little, it's indie. It's a little less of that like old fashioned, but it's still like the game loop is so tight compared to, you know, a Minecraft or a Roblox. And maybe I'm being unfair because like Minecraft is like basically a giant Lego set.
Yeah.
You know, there are goods. I think Minecraft, I'm still, you know, I yielded on the can the boy play Roblox, but I'm still kind of a hater. I think there's a lot more creativity going on in developing Minecraft mods and a lot more weird, I think, dumbness in Roblox. Now that just may reflect, you know, my son's age and taste and what it chooses to surface to him given the rather aggressive parental controls I put on it. So could be that. Yeah.
I have zero experience with Roblox, so.
Yeah, it's definitely the I will tell you, like, he tried to show me things and I'm like, I hate this. This is like the old man. Like I've crossed the Rubicon.
Oh no.
Yes. Yes. All right. Well, we are indeed classically trained. If you need any classic legacy data migrated or automated into reports, check out Alice at alice.dev. They are our sponsor today, mostly because I own the thing. So Dan, where can folks find you?
Check out my blog at daniel.melzacs.com. And I also have been working on some stuff on GitHub.
You have?
Check out Team Linux 01 on GitHub. Help me out. I need some issues and pull requests.
There you go. Check out his GitHub. He does good work. We've been debating it in our Discord, the Gamer Radio Discord, where I am hoping in the next couple weeks we're going to start some games up. We do play some grumpy historic brawl on Magic. I'm really the grumpy one who's like, back in my day, this was better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need more players, man.
Yes, we do.
Come on, people.
Yes, we do. All right. Bye, guys. Bye, Dan.
See you later.
See you later.